Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, we're rolling to hour number three of Bart and Han. Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. 800-919-3776 is the number. As always, Power Hour means full buffet. Both baseball teams have the afternoon games today. The Yankees in Baltimore. We are tied at 1-3 at Citi Field. The Mets and the Cubs, and it's once again a 1-0, just like the last night's game ended. 1-0, the Cubs have the lead in the bottom of the fourth. Again, 800-919-3776 tonight. Game six, the Knicks and the Sixers in Philly, and they're begging you in Philadelphia. They're begging their fans in Philadelphia to not sell their tickets to Knicks fans. 9 o'clock tip-off. Plenty of time if you work in the city to buy yourself some tickets online and make the short drive down to Philly and fill the building and just create the horror for them. And by the way, Bart, I just noticed this. I looked it up. Today is May 2nd, right?
Yeah.
The last time the Knicks played the Sixers in the playoffs was in 1989. They swept the Sixers. Game 3 in Philadelphia, they won in overtime on May 2nd. Good omen?
I hope so. Send him home.
I mean, this is not
the gentleman's suite.
It's wild, but it doesn't matter.
Technically, what's this?
They clinched the series in Philadelphia on May 2nd, 1989, May 2nd, 2024.
It's either a good omen or exorcism.
Oh, I see what you're doing. All right, it's hour number three. It's Bart and Han. What's that mean?
It's the Power Hour. Hour.
Could have started. You could have stopped at six there.
I was Knicks at six.
I was hoping you'd stop at six.
Well, I did 12.
It is the Power Hour, and it is brought to you by Open Road Auto Group. Before we get back to calls, there was a shoot around this morning, and Jalen Brunson spoke. And there were some interesting things that he had to say about himself, about giving away the series in Game 5 as far as being able to clinch it. In 30 seconds, they could not do it. And so he was asked how much he was thinking about missing that chance.
Obviously, when you have an opportunity to do something like that, you got to take advantage of it. And clearly, we didn't do that. But for us, it's all about how can you respond to the situation. You can be upset about it. You can be pissed. But what are you going to do to make sure that you're ready for the next one? You can't sit around and just be pissed off about what happened. Now we got to actually do something about it and just be ready to go.
It's the right answer. All right, what did you say to the team after Game 5?
When we walked into the locker room, we didn't say anything. So I think that spoke volumes. Clearly, we let one slip away. Now you got to credit them for playing the way they did to the last buzzer. But, we didn't really say too much, but we knew that we let one go.
Now, there was a lot of controversy about how the game ended because Maxey gets the four-point play. Josh Hart makes only one of two free throws, so it's a three-point game. Then, of course, Maxey makes the 35-footer. And then, without calling timeout, Brunson took the ball and went right up the floor and tried to score quickly, but his shot was blocked. So he was asked about that play. What happened there?
Yeah, we talk about it. But I think in certain situations, I think we've talked about it a lot, but obviously we were on the same page as a team at that very moment. And so, like I said before, Tibbs talked to me right before Josh shot his first free throw, and I didn't talk to I didn't say what we need to do to the team right away. I was just thinking about it in my mind, and then he missed it, the first one, and so my mind's thinking, all right, now the strategy's changing. But as the person on the court who's supposed to lead the team, that's exactly what I didn't do.
So he put it on himself. He basically said, I did not tell the guys that we were supposed to foul or what we were supposed to do on that play. So how about that? Like, huh? It was his job to relay to everybody what the game plan was, and he didn't do it. And he's taking it on himself. He's saying, I didn't do it, that he was thinking in his mind about what to do And then he missed a free throw, and now that things changed, and I was thinking about that. He goes, and then all of a sudden it was like, I didn't tell everybody. I did not communicate to the rest of the team what the game plan was. Jalen Brunson basically put it on himself. That's why there was confusion at the end of the game.
So did Tibbs not relay it?
No. Tibbs told Brunson.
I know, but
Brunson's
like,
saying that he didn't tell the rest of the guys.
You're supposed to tell it to just one
person. Why would you yell out onto the crowd what the game plan is so the Sixers can hear it?
We have code words, man.
Well, I mean, or it's just, hey, this is we're going to foul. We're not going to, whatever it is. Like, you know, that he's taking it upon himself. He's saying it was me.
Well, that's brother.
That's what a leader does.
Responsibility,
right?
Not that's what leaders do.
Yeah.
Not like what LeBron did and said it blame everything on everything in the world, but what everybody else did. Jeez.
Never my fault. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Like somebody had that. They went to Michael Jordan when they lost the series. That was tough. He was like, hey man, we didn't get it done. We got to do better. You know what I mean? Hats off to them. They went to Kobe. Kobe said, you know, this and that. LeBron like, yeah, we were injured. We didn't have enough people. Like they're like, yo. Like, when you lose, I mean, and I had an issue with Cam Newton one time because he kind of did that, and he wasn't gracious in defeat. And then, you know, you put up all the times where the Patriots, even losing to us, you know what I'm saying,
right,
and losing the Super Bowls. He won, what, 7, but he lost, like, what, 6? Every time he gave the opponent, or 4, whatever he lost, he gave the opponent credit. He didn't make excuses. And that's what you remember, not how you act when you win because – yeah, you got the jubilation of winning. It's how you respond when things are tough.
Well, speaking of missing players, like you mentioned, right? Like everybody keeps talking about the Sixers and the poor Sixers because Embiid's all banged up, so he's not 100%. And you know, this guy was sick and that guy had migraines and all that other stuff. Josh Hart this morning wanted to remind people, let's not forget who we're missing. Guy named Julius Randle.
He was the All-Stars 24-9-5 and whatever it is. So that playmaking, that shot making is something that we're missing. And it's funny when people talk about us, they somehow forget the big void that we have of, you know, 24-9, you know, gone. It's not like he's out there with us, you know, 70%, 80%. He's not out there. So that's something that's a big void that we knew was going to be hard to fill. But his playmaking, his shot making, his energy is something that we, you know, definitely miss.
Funny, like we just kind of have gotten used to it, right? Because it's January 27th is when they lost him. And we kept saying, like, well, maybe he'll come back here. Maybe he'll come back here. And then it started to become, I don't know if he's coming back. And then obviously eventually it became, no, he's not. So you're without him. And it's like we really have kind of just moved on from it. And now you're just looking at them from the prism of Jalen Brunson can get you 30 on a given night. And the rest of this team is just such a hardworking team that you want to believe that they can win playoff series despite the fact that they have only one all-star compared to their opponent that has two and not enough offense. I mean, I'm telling you right now, if they even win this game tonight and they go on and they'll play, I think game one will be Monday, and they play, let's say they play the Pacers.
Yeah.
You could say, oh, I think they could beat the Pacers. You could say that, but you can't say it with your chest. But
the Pacers still have multiple all-stars too.
Well, though the Pacers have one. They have Halliburton.
Miles Turner right there.
Siakam was
an
all-star.
Yeah, and Miles Turner. They have a big three.
But I'm telling you, when you really look at it, though, the Pacer offense is one that you've got to have a lot of offense to keep up with it. Even if your defense does slow them a little bit, they score a ton of points. With one guy that can score, you don't have other guys that are those kind of players. You know, I think they're gonna be compromised in that series too. It's not a given that they could get to the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals. It's not a given, but you wanna see if they can do it, right? So it's amazing how we just completely overlook the value of a guy like Julius Randle not being in the lineup. But we all know how good they could be. Could they beat the Celtics with Randle healthy? I think they could. I think they'd give him a run. If they get to the conference finals somehow, some way this year, I don't know if they even win a game.
Yeah, I mean,
I gotta be honest with you, I don't know if they even win a game. That's not a slight. That's not a shot at the Knicks or any of that. It's just the Celtics are that freaking good. Look at them last night. They absolutely smoked the Heat. Smoked them at home. Like, they are really, really good.
I mean, we'll see the Porzingis injury and how that. But, you know,
yeah, we'll see what kind of impact it has going forward.
You just talk about the depth. You know what I mean? That the Knicks have. And maybe.
Well,
there's
no Bogdanovich, so he's out, right? Yeah. So you're missing another guy that can score. You know, this is, they got seven seven and a half, maybe seven or eight guys they can play right now in a rotation. That's it. That's what they got. Alec Burks, there's really not much left, not much tread left on the tire there. You could see it.
Yeah.
So he's not going to play. And everybody else is like a two-way guy on a G League contract. You just don't have enough because of the injuries. The Bogdanovich injury and the Randall injury have really had a major impact.
What you hope is with your depth and with the quick turnaround that you're in better shape than Joel Embiid, and
today,
he struggles,
yes,
and his shot is short.
Yep.
Right? And you know, he can't rely. He'll have to try and be aggressive and get to the basket, which he doesn't want to do because every time, even when he tried to block, you know, Brunson's shot, he hurt himself. So any type of explosion, anything like that, where in certain instances he's going to be reluctant to do that, he's not playing as a true seven-footer. He's playing as a 6'8 guy because he's playing below the rim.
He's a wing guy. That's you gotta treat him as such.
But he's playing below the rim, meaning that he's not trying to go up and dunk on you. He's not. You don't have to worry about him elevating to a certain point. You got to worry about him trying to change the angle on a scoop layup. You know what I mean? When you look at, like, when he go across the lane, he's not coming there and going to dunk on somebody and elevate. You know, so you lean to that. You know, and if you're a guy that's coming and he's coming for help defense, you elevate as high as you can because you know that he's not going to put the pressure on to try and elevate. And if he does, every time he's done that, rather the one time he dunked, he hurt himself.
Yeah.
He tried and blocked Brunson's shot, hurt himself.
He fell. Yeah.
Because that knee is not stable. So when he's up there, he's got to come down. So you know when you see him, where normally you would never challenge Joel Embiid. You challenge him. Because even if you challenge him and if he gets it up and muscle it up, you know he's going to hurt himself.
You have to keep – I agree with you on the point that, like, you have to keep challenging him. Let's get back to calls, 800-919-3776. Mike is in Teterboro with some strategy on Embiid. Go ahead, Mike.
What's up, guys? How's it going?
All right.
Real quick question. So the double team on Embiid, I actually like the idea of doubling him, forcing him to make the right pass, which, as you mentioned, Alan, game four, he actually turned the ball over quite a bit when we had him do that. But my point was in the fourth quarter towards the end when Maxey was getting hot, and even in OT, they had Embiid along, like, the post or, like, high on the elbow.
Yep.
They were dumping the ball down to him.
Yep.
And then the closest help side defender was coming down to double. But I realized that they started moving Maxey over, so that led to about two or three open threes.
Yep.
Again, if the help side defender, if for a split second he's delayed, that's a wide open three. So my question to you is, do you think it makes sense move, like, for tonight's game, if they kept the same strategy but they shadowed Maxey and had another off ball defender double and then rotate on the back end on the weak side? What do you think?
Well, that's a lot of strategy there, Mike. It's a lot of things to kind of break down for you, but I got to be honest with you. It is as simple as this, is that when he's in the post, he's hard to guard one-on-one when he's feeling good because you're going to foul him. But I also think I could do that early on because I want him to wear down, just like Bart said. By the way, Ryan McKenna just hit a home run off Rodon. They had back-to-back solo home runs against Rodon.
So, game with offense.
The effort at center field was embarrassing.
Ooh.
Absolutely embarrassing.
Ooh.
I can't tell who that is out there, but whoever it was.
That would be Judge, right?
I would know it's Judge. It's not Judge. But whoever tried to jump to catch that needs to work on his vert. Because, I mean, damn. Bart, you would have caught that.
Hold on, I have 41-inch
vert. It just literally could. That wall is not a high wall. It's like a 7-foot wall. Is that Grisham? Oh, my God. Now the sun's in his face. He's got sunglasses on, but that was so. I mean, it's way up there. But that his jump, my man's got to learn how to jump a little higher than that. That's all I'm gonna say.
It's like Carlin at the park going for a rebound.
I've watched it several times, and I keep saying to myself, like, I know it was just above the glove, but I guess, like, that's in one instance where you need a judge out there. Because you needed a guy.
Judge wouldn't even jump. He would just put his hand up.
Judge would have probably caught that. That's one. And, I mean, Rodon's face, too, was like, are you kidding me? He was so mad. That's two home runs he gave up in this fourth inning. Pathetic. Let's continue with Scott in Harlem. Scott.
What's good, bros? Good morning. Good afternoon, as a matter of fact. Good afternoon.
Afternoon. 9 o'clock start. Yes, it could still be morning. You never know.
Yeah. Well, in New York, it's not. But I just want to make sure I cover the bases.
I got you.
Han, I love you to death. like my big bro. But look, there's no white flag, no Pete. No white flag. Yeah, I told the guy who picked up, this ain't no white flag, no peace talk time. And B got to get hit. I want him on the court for the win because we're going to win this game. But we can't do this, letting him get away with smacking faces. Yeah.
Let's take our flagrant. Yeah, let's take our flagrant one. Listen, it's the cost of doing business. In football, we do it all the time.
I heard Han say the other day, we don't have no goons. We got Saad. Put Sims on him. We got to shoot some weight around.
You guys look at Sims as if he's not Matt Rempe.
Everybody,
he is not that kind of guy, man.
Everybody has to get initiated into the gang. If he want to be part of it, he got to put some blood on his hands.
I'm with you on.
He can apologize
from the start
after
of the series.
Sorry, he made me.
The
do
start
it.
Of the series, though, Scott. I said after game one, I said they're too nice to Embiid. They're being too deferential. They're being too respectful. I did say that several times. I wanted them to get at him a little tougher, a little meaner, a little extra something, something, and they weren't doing it. And he has done stuff, and even again. The flagrant one that they finally called on him, and like that call, like they had to call that. He hit Brunson on the head
and if wind up and
slapped on his head. He keeps doing these careless plays. I'm just saying, do not do anything obvious, because especially tonight with Scott Foster, you could lose a player tonight. He's not going to hesitate to call flagrant two.
Scott Foster will not hesitate.
You can't do anything obvious and flagrant.
I agree with all that. But we can't keep going into Philly. We need to send a message in Philly.
But you did, game four, the message was walk off the court with a win. That's your message.
Absolutely. What's wrong with a flagrant one, Han?
What's wrong with a flagrant one?
Of course I would take that. But the point is this dude, what better message to send to Philly to come into Philly with their fans going, wow, give him a hard foul. Let him get up slowly and stand by him and look at him. I'm not saying get in a fight. I'm not saying lose a man.
That's different.
But something got to be done.
That's different.
He's taking out two to three people, and we've just standing around like, okay, everything good.
The big men have been too differential. I think Mitchell Robinson has been nice. I think Isaiah Hartenstein has been nice. It's easy for us to say they're giving away 50 pounds to this guy.
Don't matter.
It's not that easy when you're trying to stay in the game. You're trying to stick to the game plan. I'm sure the coaches are telling them, don't get engaged in this crap. We need you on the court.
Hi, two more things. I want to say peace to Tess out in West Caldwell, but we need to bring Charlie Ward back. Right at that knee, let him get up and limp around for a minute. Do the Charlie Ward on him. But we can't keep getting hit in the face.
Box him out. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
We need a Charlie Ward box out where that knee folds over somebody's back. Oh, my mistake. Yeah. Didn't mean to do it. Yep.
As I watched it back a bunch of times, Scott, thank you, man. As I watched it back, I kept thinking to myself, Deuce had a chance right before that 35-footer when Embiid was coming for the screen. Deuce could have gone football right there. You knew he was going to get screened.
You clipped the knee.
I'm going right for that knee.
Yes, you just take the knee and you elevate off the ground a little bit.
He could have,
and you catch the MCL from the side.
And he could have done the whole, I'm fighting through a screen. What do you mean? I'm just fighting through a screen. Like, he could have easily done
that. And that's what we're saying.
Guys don't think like that when they play. You know, guys don't. We think like that, but guys don't think like that.
Don't say, because we had a whole list.
The NFL is a different world. NFL is a different world. Gary's in Howell. What's up, Gary? Gary?
Gary's a no-show. He has his own mute, but he's just in no-show.
He probably does have his own mute. Gary's got to call us back. All right, so here's what we'll do. We'll take a break here. 800-919-3776. There's tons more calls to get to. We will certainly do that. The Celtics finished off the Heat. We got to see, I guess, what happens with the Cavs and the Magic, but that series has been sort of meh, right? Nothing really happening with that whole thing. As I said, the Sixers owners buying tickets and begging, and all the Sixers people begging people not to sell their tickets to Knicks fans. Don't you think, as a city, it is time for New York to look to Philly and go, you're not a sports town? Because when you need to, it's a playoff game and you're selling tickets. Is it time to pull the card of the Sixers?
Yep.
And also, by the way, Sauce Gardner tweeted something today that is curious, and I want to see what Bart thinks of it. So we all that more coming up. Stay with us. Bart and Hot, 98.7 ESPN.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
And so Chris Candy's going to join us tomorrow in the studio. He wants to hang out in the studio, part of the show, just have some fun like the old days. So that's gonna be fun after he's done with his, of course, National Network morning show. He and Evan Cohen. You just heard Evan Cohen yelling at you about True Green, right? Like the just like top of your lungs screaming. It's just okay, I got it. Okay, it's almost like I'm being badgered. All right, I'll call. I don't even have a lawn. Anyways,
I got a rooftop.
I'll grow grass somewhere in the house. I swear. Just stop yelling at me. Like, why is he yelling at me? Anyways, before I ask you, Bart, to decode a tweet from Sauce Gardner today, I want you to listen to Booger McFarland, who was on ESPN, had this to say about the AFC East and where he thinks the Jets and this roster that some people think might be one of the best rosters in the NFL. But Booger McFarland says this is where he sees the Jets in the AFC East.
You got a quarterback who's on the AARP list. They are an old football team. And so you got one old guy that's taking the snaps, going to be protected by two old guys, one at left tackle, one at right tackle. I'm speaking of Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses. I just don't know how that's going to work. And I know all the optimism of Aaron Rodgers coming back, but football and sports in general, as we're seeing in the NBA playoffs, this is a young person's game. And they're counting on a lot of old guys to make a lot of plays. I just don't see how it's going to work.
So he has them behind the Bills and the Dolphins again.
No. Let's just decipher before you even tell me what Sauce did. First of all, Booger's a certified hater because as a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan, he won a championship with a guy that was older. So miss me with that, with the old ageism stuff, because all of a sudden he's super optimistic about Tampa and what Tampa was able to do with Tom Brady. But all of a sudden, Aaron Rodgers can't do what Tom Brady did. So he's already hating on that to begin with. That's the narrative he's been running
Justin
with.
Justin Wirfs was a rookie tackle.
Don't matter. How old is Tipman? How old is John Simpson? Mm-hmm. How old is Vera Tucker? So what are we talking about? You act like there's no young people on the team at all. Mm-hmm. How old is Fashanu?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So what are we talking about? Would Fashanu play the role of Tristan Wirfs?
Terrell Smith isn't really old. He's just broken down.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
But he's not old.
And neither is a 33-year-old – A 33-year-old Morgan Moses.
Morgan Moses, yeah. He's been broken.
So miss me with that. Mm. So he's been broken, but he played every game last year.
Okay.
So this is just, like I said, some people just like to hate the Jets to hate, and this is the narrative he's been running with because it's funny to tease Greeny. But he's full of hate, and he wacky D for it because he just watched the team that he rooted for win a title like that. How old was Peyton Manning when he won his title? So what are we talking about? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. So you talk about that's a whole lot to ask for an old person. Then we, when Matthew Stafford won, wasn't he a quarterback of a certain age?
How old was the offensive? What's
Oh, he was 40.
Yeah,
he would be 40 years old.
That's right.
Whitworth, he would be 40. So make it make sense, Booger, because I'm not wishing upon a star. I'm not going back decades and eons ago. I'm going back in the recent Super Bowls that have been won. Like, so what are we talking about? How old is it, Smith? Smith is the same age, damn near, Morgan Moses. Didn't he just win a championship with Patrick Mahomes? Make it make sense. See, if you want to be a hater and a Jets hater, just hate. Just say it. I'm Buck Nasty, the resident hater.
But here's my other thing, though, that I'm wondering. With everything that Buffalo did to break apart their team this offseason, why is there so much faith in them?
So much optimism.
Well, optimism is one thing. They still have Josh Allen, right? They still, but
they lost leaders.
They lost certified leaders. Yeah, I don't understand.
Poirier and Hyde were leaders. Tre'Davious White was a guy who they paid a bunch of money to win. We're not talking about Von Miller, old ass, coming off a knee injury, and they depended on him because they paid him so much money. We ain't talking about that, are we? You're not depending on an old dude in Von Miller who had two ACL surgeries?
Mm-hmm. So it's the Buffalo
who looked like a shell of itself last year.
I can understand the Dolphins, right? That offense is insane. Like they're
no,
guys
no,
like,
the Dolphins they ain't bringing people back. They lost a bunch of people in free agency. Van Ginkle, they got two of their pass rushers, Chubb and Phillips are coming off season-ending injuries late last year. They won't even be available.
Okay.
So they don't even have their pass rushers. And oh, by the way, they don't have their two outside pass rushers. And they lost Wilkerson in free agency. And he only accounted for 9.5 sacks last year. Oh, Xavier Howard, their everything corner, oh, he's washed up and they let him go. Van Ginkle, the guy who filled in last year and was getting sacks for them, is gone. So make it make sense, Booger.
Okay.
Just say I'm a hater. Just say I'm Zion hater. I'm Zion daddy and I'm a hater. Just say that then.
Meanwhile, this around right before the show started, about 11:30, Sauce Gardner went to Twitter, and I'm trying to figure out, like, I need you to decode this, because he said, "I want to be a New York Jet for the rest of my career,"
which is
a really nice sentiment, right? Terrific. But it seems like just as a random thing to say when
I did see that, yeah.
After this, it's not till next year at this time that the extension stuff is up, right?
Right.
So what's behind this?
I mean, he just put it out there. Who knows? I mean, everybody knows Sauce is going to be the highest paid corner in the league. They're not. There is no way that they let him go.
Well, wait a minute. They got to pay.
Yes. And you're not. Listen.
Garrett Wilson.
You pay him before Garrett Wilson. Guess what? He's a two-time All-Pro. The first time it's ever happened in his first 2 years. Not two-time Pro Bowler,
right.
Not Defensive Rookie of the Year,
right.
All-Pro. He ain't going no damn where. Trust me.
Oh, I'm not saying that the Jets will move on from him. I'm just saying that, you know, when you have cap situations, there's different priorities, and Garrett Wilson's got to be the first one, isn't he?
No. Listen, cornerback.
Is Jermaine Johnson the second?
No. Cornerback is first.
Cornerback ahead of a wide receiver.
Yeah, because guess what? Everybody has a great wide receiver, right, that they paying $30 million. So if you got one that you can stop with one guy and not have to double him, then you do that as well.
But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about what you have right now and the fact that you have obviously cap situations that you always have to manage. You can't pay everybody. We've seen teams have to make decisions on guys, and all I'm saying is why would Sauce put this out today? Is it a random thought from him? Is he starting the campaign already to make sure? I just don't know what it's just a strange thing for him. Not a strange thing for him to say. It's a nice thing to hear. I'd love for him to be a Jet for the rest of his life. But I'm just wondering what inspired the tweet. I'm curious about it.
I don't know what it inspired it, but what I'm saying is he's the when you talk about the most important, the most the player that has the most job security in that building, even more than Quentin Williams, is Sauce. He's the best player on the best defense. He's arguably – when you talk about Quentin.
Yeah, I thought Quentin Williams was the best player on the defense.
No, he's not.
He's not?
No, Quinn. Listen, okay. When you go over and you're gonna list the top D tackles, mm-hmm. Quinn is not number one. When you list the top cornerbacks, the argument is Sauce is number one out of everybody, and he's younger than Quinnen, and he's already considered in all circles mm-hmm. the best at the position. Some would say Patrick Surtain. You'll find that. But two-time All-Pro, it's only two spots on the All-Pro list, and he's did it twice. And he's only been – and the only reason he did it three times because he only been here for 2 years. So
right.
Nobody has more job security. He's Deion. He's Revis. He's Champ Bailey. He ain't going nowhere. Who gonna let a guy go that's probably going to be All-Pro three times a year? He's on Hall of Fame. Do you understand?
I'm not saying they're letting him go. Just saying priority-wise, though, I think Garrett Wilson's got to get signed first.
No.
When it comes to cap space.
No, Sauce gets signed first.
I'm confused.
They're both in the same draft.
Right.
Sauce was drafted.
They both do at the same time.
Right. Sauce was drafted higher than him, and yes. Sauce is the higher player.
I understand.
Is Garrett Wilson the best receiver in the league? No.
I think
Sauce the best corner in the league? Yes.
I would want to prioritize the wide receiver.
Well,
I would.
Well, that's great. Then get
we
your
did
ass,
this with De- then, we did then, this no, with no. Darrell Revis though.
No, then get your ass kicked by all the great receivers that you got to go against.
But you also got to score touchdowns too.
Yeah, but you also got to stop touchdowns too.
So you
and
would
if the play because he's the better player.
Okay, so what you're saying?
So you're gonna trade the Hall of Famer? We don't know.
I didn't say trade anything.
Well, not pay the Hall of Famer first.
I'm gonna make sure that I keep my wide receiver
okay.
and pay him what it's gonna be worth to pay him. Rather than pay the corner first and then say to the wide receiver, this is all we can afford, when you know that's not going to get it done.
And so what if the All-Pro corner say, okay, well, I'm out. Franchise me all you want, I'm out. Then what? If you had to pick between one or the two, I guarantee you they would pick Sauce because he's the Hall of Fame first
okay.
ballot. Right now he's on the trajectory to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And I don't care what position you have that in. You don't let that walk out. And by the way, he's at the most pivotal spot. His gray. Listen, I love Garrett Wilson. But if Garrett Wilson left and you were stuck with Mike Williams, you'll feel better than if you lost Sauce and was stuck with DJ Reed. Correct?
Of course.
So what I'm saying is it may be easier to get the production that you got from Garrett Wilson. Especially when you consider who the quarterback is, at least in a short period. But the beauty of it is if Jordan Travis becomes a good player, you won't have to have this discussion. And I don't think you have to have a discussion anyway because you can afford to pay both of them. Now, who may get left go and not get money could be Vera Tucker. He could be the guy that's odd man out because if he would have been healthy, he would have been the guy that you continued to pay. But now because you have John Simpson on a relatively cheap contract, if you got to let somebody walk because you're not paying them $25 million, which is what the going rate is for a great guard, it's probably Vera Tucker.
Let's not forget, isn't Breece Hall also somebody because
he's a running back.
But he's got the shorter term contract.
Right.
He doesn't have the fifth year, so.
Right, but Jermaine Johnson, you see how McDonald comes along. If Jermaine Johnson,
listen, this bill's coming up, and it's not going to be easy to pay.
But
when you did that well in the draft at the very top, it does end up coming back to
here's
you. Got to pay it.
Here's the beauty of that bill.
What's that?
When that bill is due, Aaron Rodgers will be done as a New York Jet. Two more years.
Yeah, probably.
So that's what I'm saying. So when you become a team that's not paying a quarterback, then you can become the San Francisco
right.
49ers.
And you know what you just made me think? You just made me think this. Jordan Travis had better be good.
That's what I said.
Like, they better get him like to where he's ready so that they're not paying him, right?
Yeah. Right. Yes. That's what I'm saying. So, like, Jordan Travis comes in 2 years. It's going to take him 2 years to get right, and he becomes Jordan Love. And he comes in, he fills in, if he plays, he doesn't have to be great. He just has to be a top 15 quarterback, and then you become the San Francisco 49ers, where you can go out and you can get the best, and you can pay everybody, and everybody's at the peak of their career, 26, 27, 28 years old, when they say that's the best years of a player. You won't have a $45, $60 million quarterback bill like everybody else in the league will have, and that's when you distribute the money there. And at that point, that'll be time where Quinnen is coming down. That's when CJ's playing for one more year or two more years, and you give him you take his contract down, and then you continue to keep drafting. That's why you have 2 years to pretty much do what Philly did when they replaced Cox and all those guys. They went and got Jordan Davis, and they went and got Jalen Carter.
But once again, you have two years.
Right. So next year, that's when you
– the quarterback's got to get rid of them. That this kid, they got to really
– Yes. And next year, your first-round draft pick probably could be a quarterback, or it could be a receiver, just in case you can't afford Garrett Wilson.
Mm. Okay.
And then the following year after that, it could be a top corner, in case you can't do Sauce.
All right. Well, we'll finish up with calls at 800-919-3776 on this and everything else, getting you ready for Game 6. Of course, Knicks and the Sixers down in Philly. Will there be another Knick takeover? Tickets are still available. They're begging their fans not to sell their tickets to Knick fans. It's a 9 o'clock start, plenty of time to get down there. Is it going to be another one of those types of nights? This has been a crazy series. What else is in store for us tonight? We'll finish up with those thoughts before we hand it off to the K-Show.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
International soccer is coming to New York this summer. FC Series and Soccer Champions Tour presents Manchester City and AC Milan at Yankee Stadium on July 27th. Enter for your chance to score tickets at ESPNNewYork.com or on the ESPN New York app. Scroll down to contest. Submit your entry. Two grand prize winners will also receive a jersey from the team of their choice. Watch some of the best teams in the world. Don't miss out. Get your tickets now at fcseries.com. Baseball not going well for the New York teams today. Two afternoon games, a beautiful day at Citi Field. It's 5-2 Cubs, bottom of the sixth. So Rick and Dave, when they're outing there, not exactly enjoying things. But you never know. Could have a comeback. Plenty of time. We shall see. Carlos Rodon did not have a great outing. It's 7-1 Baltimore in the bottom of the fifth.
That's starting to become a thing. That's starting to become a thing, though.
Yeah, it's not all on him, though. He did give up a couple of home runs, but it was also some awful fielding that could have gotten him out of an inning that just blew up on him. And so 7-1 is ugly. And they could have gotten a split after yesterday's win instead. And it just one run once again, by the way. So two yesterday. Two the day before, zero in the first game. I mean, this is all you're doing offensively. So some issues there for the baseball teams, no doubt about it. Bart, what are we expecting tonight? What do you think is going to happen in Philadelphia? I mean, this has been a drama-filled series. Are we going to have more drama tonight, you think?
I just think it's going to be a tight game that's going to come down to late execution. Last time it went to the Sixers, making big shots. We know that's not it's almost like Paul, what he did was almost like what DiVincenzo did. And it's almost what Paul George did. But the thing is, when you think about that, those players didn't follow up with great performances. Hell, DiVincenzo has been, he's been on the bench since that shining moment. And you look at Paul George, he had a horrible game. So, you know, we've seen Jalen Brunson have two mediocre games. Can the Sixers survive a mediocre game from Maxey? And can Maxey maintain this level? Can he maintain
Maxey? I think Maxey and Brunson are still going to give you 30 plus.
Everybody struggles.
Either one of these guys is going to have a bad game. I'm telling you right now. I think this is going to be about what you just said before that. Tobias Harris, Dante DiVincenzo, OG Anunoby, Nick Batum. Who is it going to be? You know, is it Lowry? Who's it going to be that you go, damn, didn't see that game coming?
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? But Maxey, what I'm saying is Maxey's not hitting those magical shots like he hit last game. Those were magical shots. I mean, finish through contact and get a 4-point play. That's what I'm saying. When I say struggle, I'm not saying like he's going to have a James Harden, you know, 7-point type of performance. I'm saying what if instead of 40, what if he's at 22? Because he's not efficient as he was before.
Eight for 20.
Right, because they need him to be special. So I don't think he can maintain that for the next two games.
We shall see. That's the Power Hour brought to you by Open Road Auto Group. Open Road Mercedes-Benz, BMW, and Audi offer excellent pricing, first-class experience, open door. For your next new or pre-owned vehicle, just visit us online at openroad.com. Let's see if the Knicks fans show up in the building tonight, Philadelphia. Enjoy the game. I'll see y'all tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.